Good afternoon. Welcome to our Bible study. We're in the first book of Samuel. First book of Samuel, chapter 15. We're just going to go through chapter 15 this afternoon because there's a lot of information in this one chapter, and I'm going to share some other passages with you regarding this passage, this chapter. So chapter 15, first book of Samuel. I'll let you guys get there, then we'll open in prayer. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, as we gather in Jesus' name on this afternoon, Lord, we ask you that you would open our hearts and our minds to your word, that you would speak directly to us, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so chapter 15 revolves around obedience to God, the seriousness of divine command, and the nature of true repentance. Okay, so those three things are the main things that we're going to be talking about in this chapter. So let's go ahead. We'll start chapter 15. Saul spares King Agag. Verse 1. It says, Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the words of the Lord." Let's just stop here for one moment. Samuel is going to give Saul a direct command. Okay, Samuel's given Saul a direct command from God, which is right in verse 2. Look at verse 2. It says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel, how he ambushed him on the way when he came up from Egypt." So let's stop there. You guys probably remember this when we went through this in Exodus a while ago. This is really interesting because God is telling Saul through Samuel, "I have taken note of what Amalek did hundreds of years ago." This is 100 years later, okay, which is very interesting, right? I don't know how good your memory is, but God has a very good memory. He keeps detailed records. And now he's bringing up something that happened hundreds of years ago, okay? What God is referring to is the time when Moses was leading the people out of Egypt, heading to the promised land, and the Amalekites attacked Israel from the rear. I don't know if you guys remember us going through that in Exodus. The Amalekites attacked the rear because that's where all the little children were and all the elderly were. Okay? They were very weak. They could not defend themselves. They attacked Israel from the rear. The Amalekites, just so you know, they fought like guerrilla warfare terrorists, okay? The Amalekites always preyed on the weak, the children of Israel, the elderly, the sick, the lame. So God now says, hey, I remember 100 years ago what the Amalekites did when you came out of Israel. It's time to take care of business now. But I want you to hold your spot, and I want you to go to this passage in Exodus 17. Hold your spot where we are and go to Exodus chapter 17. I'll let you guys get there. Try not to lose your spot in the first book of Samuel. Yeah, Exodus chapter 17. We went over this like 2 years ago. You guys can't even remember that. Okay, go down to verse 8. Let me put this down a little bit. Now go down to verse 8. We're going to read verse 8 through 16. This is when it took place. Verse 8 says, "Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim." Okay, this was the attack. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God, with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him, and he fought with Amalek, the Amalekites. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur, he was a guy, not her, went up to the top of the hill. And verse 11 says, and so it was, while Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let his down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands became heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, one on the other side, and his hands were steady until going down of the sun. Verse 13 says, so Joshua defeated Amalek, not all of them, but this group, and his people with the edge of the sword. Then the Lord said, look at verse 14, then the Lord said to Moses, write this for a memorial in the book and recount it in the hearing of Joshua, that I will utterly destroy or blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven because of what he did, what they did. Verse 5, and Moses built an altar and called the name, the Lord is my banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn, the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Okay? So this is what now we're talking about in Samuel. God saying, hey, I remember hundreds of years ago what the Amalekites did. Now I want you, King Saul, to go in and destroy these people, because I want to wipe them all out because of who they are and what they've done. Jump to Deuteronomy 25. It's about this too. Deuteronomy chapter 25. There were still lots of Amalekites in the area. They were for a long time, and they were thorns in Israel's side. And they always fought dirty, always preying on the weak and the elderly, the children. Go Deuteronomy 25, go down to verse 17. I'll read 17 through 19. This is Moses speaking to the children of Israel during his farewell speech just before he passed away. Okay, this is Moses talking now. Moses said in verse 17, remember what Amalek did to you on the way as you were coming out of Egypt, how he met you on the way and attacked your rear ranks and the stragglers at your rear when you were tired and weary, and he did not fear God. Therefore, it shall be, when the Lord your God has given you rest from your enemies all around, in the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess as an inheritance, look at this, that you will blot out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget. This is Moses telling the people, listen, God wanted us to wipe these people out. You saw what they did when we came out of there. They attacked our children and killed them, and same with the elderly and the weak, because they always were in the rear, okay? So here in our study, go back to chapter 15 in Samuel. We're here. 1 Samuel chapter 15, God gives the command to Saul through the prophet Samuel. It's time to wipe out the Amalekites for what they did hundreds of years ago. Again, God has a good memory. He keeps good records. So, I just want you, before we continue, I just want to share this with you. This is very important to understand. Because sometimes this can be tough reading, right? God said, wipe them out. Children, everybody, wipe out these Amalekites. For us, oh boy, really? I want you to understand. This is very important. God gave the Amalekites hundreds of years to repent of their sins, but they never did. God, being righteous and just, is now going to bring judgment on these people. That's so important to understand, because people will say, oh, God was loving God. How come he wiped out all these people? Blah, blah, blah. Right? You hear that. Listen, I can't stress this enough. These people were wicked, evil terrorists. Okay? And God gave them hundreds of years to repent and ask for forgiveness. But they never did. So God now is going to bring judgment on them right here in this passage, okay? So it's important for you to understand that. They never repented, right? The Amalekites were unwilling to repent, and here comes the judgment, right? Just like believers, right? God gives us right up until we take our last breath to come to Christ. If you don't, well, judgment comes. God doesn't want that, but that's he's righteous. He has to. Otherwise, he's a corrupt God, okay? So Samuel in verse 3, excuse me, verse 3, 4, and 5, I'm going to read. It says, now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all, that's important, all that they have, and do not spare them. This is God talking through Samuel to Saul. But kill both man and woman, women, infant and nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey, everything. Verse 4. So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telaim, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and laid in wait in the valley. Okay. So let's just stop here for a minute. I want you to notice this. Notice God said to Saul through Samuel the prophet, you are to utterly destroy everything of these people. All their stuff because of what they did 400 years ago or hundreds of years ago. Okay? Wipe out everything. This is Saul's command. This is God's command to Saul. Right? Again, back in Exodus 17, we read, right? Then the Lord said to Moses, write it, write this in the book for memorial, that I am going to utterly destroy Amalek for what they did when you came out of Egypt, right? Deuteronomy 25. God said, remember, Moses said, remember to blot out the remembrance of Amalek under heaven. You shall not forget. So here we are. Amalekites were unwilling to repent, and here comes the judgment. So let's pick up verse 6. Look at this. Verse 6. Then Saul said to Kenites, go, depart, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you showed kindness to all the children of Israel when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kenites departed from among the Amalekites. So let's stop here for a minute. I'm not sure if you remember, but the Kenites, okay, the Kenites were descendants of Jethro. Jethro is Moses' father-in-law. Remember Jethro? He was Moses' father-in-law. They were Kenites. He married a Midian wife, Moses did. They were part of the Kenites. And when they came out of Egypt, Moses told Jethro everything that God had did for them. And scripture says that Jethro, he rejoiced and he was happy for them and he blessed Moses and all of Israel. He was blown away. He says, oh, your God is awesome. He did all this. This is awesome. And he showed his family, the Kenites, showed favor to Israel. And said, let the Lord bless you. So now God put it on Saul's heart to say, there's Kenites in the area of these Amalekites, but they showed kindness to us, to Israel. So tell them to go, otherwise they're going to be destroyed. Okay? So see how God is? He's loving. He's righteous, but loving. They could have all been wiped out. He put it on Saul's heart, tell the Kenites to beat it. Tell them to get out of here. Destruction's coming. Because he remembered hundreds of years ago that the Kenites were very kind to Israel. Okay? So, God took note of that, right? Like I said, God takes notes. He just like God takes notes of the good things that you do for people. Same thing. He takes good note. He remembers those things. He remembered the Kenites, how they showed kindness, right? So let's pick up in verse 7. Let's see what happens. I'm sure they hightailed it. On verse 7, it says, "And Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is the east of Egypt. He also, which was a no-no, took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword." Look at this. But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep, oxen, the fatlands, the lambs, and all that was good, and were unwilling to utterly destroy them. But everything despised and worthless, that he utterly destroyed. Let's stop here. Well, this is Saul's downfall right here. Saul and his army disobeyed God's command. You see that? We just read it. God told them, utterly destroy everything. Everything means everything. They came and attacked the Amalekites, as it says, but their flesh got the best of them. And seeing all the good spoil, they couldn't resist. They took for themselves. And you notice, the only thing they destroyed was the worthless stuff. And Saul, not only that, Saul took the king, Agag, back as a trophy. Look what I did. I got King Agag. They were like, I know God said to destroy everything, but there's some real good stuff here. And we can't resist the flesh, right? Right? The flesh and the spirit. Always at it. The flesh loves that stuff. The Spirit of God doesn't. So, hey, listen, we've been there. These guys are here. We've been there. Flesh can't resist. I know God said no, but oh, it looks good, right? This is what they did. They let the flesh get the best of them. I'm sure God will understand. Not. This really reveals Saul's attitude and his heart towards God. Right here. Because back in verse 3, God gave a command to Saul through Samuel. Now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all. That means the king too. That means all the good fatlands and the sheep, everything. Right? Everything means everything. And he disobeyed God. Remember when we read when God made Israel march around Jericho, right? He said march around and so, and then they wanted the last time shout, and he brought it all down. He told them, don't take any of the spoil, right? Remember we read that? He said, hey, I know you guys, when you get there, you're going to see a lot of good things. They're going to look good. Don't do it. Don't do it. Do you know that those things, those spoils, when God says, these are mine, destroy them, those are to be devoted to God. That's why God does that. Even though they're being destroyed, God tells them, wipe everything out. All that is devoted to me, even if it's destroyed. That's to be devoted for me, for my judgment on that. But you taken from it is disobeying me. Right? What is devoted to the Lord cannot be claimed by people. Okay? And this is what God was telling them. Saul, I want it all gone, which is going to be devoted to me. I'm bringing my judgment on them. Whether destroyed or placed in God's treasury, it belongs entirely to God. And that was God's point. But Saul and his army kept the best for themselves. Look at this, right? God, well, hang on one second. God, it's not in here. This God, okay, told them not to take anything, right? But Saul and his army do this. We're going to take all these good things for us. We're going to leave God with all the worthless things. That's what they did. Can you imagine? It says they left all the worthless things to be devoted to God. Oh, gimme, gimme, gimme. You can have this God. Yeah, you can have that. You have this old panel over here. I don't like it anyway. Got a new one over here. But you can have that one. That's what they did. Complete disobedience. What does God say throughout all the scripture? Give me your best. Right? That's what God tells us all the time. Give me your best. Right? This goes all the way back to the beginning. Think of Cain and Abel. Right? What did Abel do? Abel brought to the Lord his offering. A little perfect, his best little lamb without blemish. I'm sure he did not want to give that little lamb up. He would rather give the three-legged one or the one with one eye. Right? Like us. He says, here, Lord, I want you to have my best. He gives him his perfect lamb without blemish. What did Cain do? Gives him a rotten piece of fruit off the ground. Here you go, Lord. This one's for you. That's why God accepted Abel's offering and not Cain's. And you guys know the rest. God says, hey, listen. Give me your best. Not the worthless stuff. Unreal, right? And the sad part is, we can be the same way, right? It's kind of like this. Hey, the church is looking for a TV. Oh, they are. I think I got one in the garage. You have to find it. We have to go through digging through a bunch of stuff. I think it's a 1972. Right? I think it's got one channel. We'll give that to the Lord. Yeah, hey, God bless you. Here you go. Yeah, if you can find it, it's yours. We can do that, right? How about taking the brand new one off the TV stand for the church? Saying, here you go, Lord. I'll get that one out for myself. Oh, man, I'm telling you. We do the same thing. God desires our best. Period. Not what's worthless. He's all set with that old TV clunker one channel. Just like we are. That's why it's in the garage. After the 70-year exile, in the time of the prophet Malachi, the people began sacrificing blind, lame, sick, and stolen animals to the Lord. Can you imagine? After the exile. This is after they come out of the exile for 70 years. You think they learned a lesson? Man, we are some stubborn people, huh? This is after the exile. Prophet Malachi. This is what Prophet Malachi, listen to this. Malachi 1, verse 7 and 8. God said, you offered defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have I defiled you, Lord? By saying, the table of the Lord is contempt. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? Says the Lord. And when you offer the lame and the sick, is that not evil? Offer then to your governor, would he be well pleased? Would he accept your offering? Says the Lord. Yeah, this is what these people are doing. Yeah, we've got to make a sacrifice. Yeah, go grab that lamb out there. He's got a big thing on his head. We don't want that anymore. Yeah, go sacrifice him. Give him to the Lord. Give him the three-legged lamb. That's what they're doing. Man, we do the same thing. That's why I tell people, you're going to bring and donate stuff to the thrift store? Don't bring the rags. Bring some of your good stuff that can bless somebody else. Bring some good stuff to the Lord. If you don't want it, there's a good chance somebody else doesn't. How about give them a new pair of jeans instead of the ripped ones? This is what we're reading. This is what we're learning right here. And I'm not saying some of the stuff that's worn out might be treasure for somebody else, but how about throwing in some good stuff for people through the Lord? This is the Lord's ministry downstairs. It's not ours. He's blessing, as we can see. This just comes right to life to me when I read this. In our passage, Saul and his army kept all the good stuff and left all the bad stuff for the Lord. Here you go, Lord. You can have all that worthless stuff. King David was just the opposite of King Saul. That's why God said, this man is a man after my own heart. Listen to what David said. This is what David said. I'll never give God something that doesn't cost me. That was David's heart. I will never give God something that didn't cost me. Now you can see why God said, this man's a man after my own heart. He wants to give me his best, not the worthless stuff like Saul. Powerful. All right, let's continue in verse 10. See why we're only going through this chapter? There's a lot of information here. Verse 10 says, now the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, look at this, verse 11. I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried out to the Lord all night. All night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed, look at this. He went there, and guess what Saul did? Saul set up a monument for himself. Think he's full of pride? And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, look at what Saul says to Samuel. Blessed are you of the Lord, Samuel. Glad you came. I performed all the commandments of the Lord. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of oxen which I hear? He hears all these animals, they talk. Verse 15. And Saul said, they, he deflects. Yeah, there's a good leader for you right there. He deflects the blame. They have brought them from the Amalekites. I didn't do it. I'm only in charge. For the people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen. Another excuse. To sacrifice to the Lord your God. You notice that he says your God. He doesn't even say our God. And the rest we have utterly destroyed. Yeah, we got rid of all the worthless stuff. Tell you to me last night. And he said to him, speak on. So Samuel said, when you were little in your own eyes, humble. Because at one time, Saul was humble. Okay? When he called upon him, remember he hid? He didn't know what to do. He saw the people gathering around. They were going to make him king, and he hid. At one point, he was a humble man. But then pride filled him. And then Samuel says to him right here in verse 17, when you were little in your own eyes, when you were humble, were you not the head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you swoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? Let's stop here for a minute. Verse 11, God said, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And look at this right here. It grieved Samuel that he prayed all night. You see the difference in the hearts between Saul and Samuel? Right? We saw Saul's heart full of disobedience, full of pride, no repentance, but Samuel was grieved and he was so upset, he pulled an all-nighter and prayed. Pulled an all-nighter, said he prayed all night. Big difference in hearts, right? This is a man of a has a heart for God and a man who has a heart for himself. This is what we're seeing right here. Samuel knew that Saul hadn't been faithful and he prayed all night. His heart was broken over Saul's actions, right? And not only was Saul disobedient, verse 12 says he even set up a monument for himself. Can you imagine? Talk about being full of pride, right? He makes a statue of himself. You know, being full of pride and arrogant, he tells Samuel in verse 3, right? Blessed be the Lord, Samuel. He sees Samuel coming, right? Hey, blessed be the Lord, Samuel. Right? He says, I have performed all the commandments of the Lord. Not. And Samuel's like, really? Well, what are all those animals that I hear? All these, you know? What's all this about? This goes to show you that pride makes us blind to the sin that's really going on in the heart. Pride will do that. Pride will do that. In other words, we can't see it when pride stands in the way. Saul was like, hey, Samuel, I did everything I was supposed to do. And then Saul deflects the blame in verse 15, and he says, they over here, yeah, these guys, they did it. I didn't do it. They, he said, right? Some leader he is, he deflects the blame right away. No, it was these guys, right? They brought the best of the animals from the Amalekites. Well, the people spared the people, so he's deflecting still. He's got the blame right on the people. Now he's king. He's in charge. The people spared the best of the sheep and the oxen. Oh, and we did this, Samuel, the sacrifice to the Lord, by the way, because he knows he did wrong. We took all these good things. We're going to sacrifice them to the Lord. Well, that's not what the Lord wanted. Right? Saul said, the people brought all the good animals to sacrifice to the Lord, your God. He didn't say our God. He said, your God. Right? Saul was trying to make it all sound so sacred. And Samuel tells him, be quiet, Saul. You know you did wrong. This is what the Lord told me last night, he said. When you were little in your own eyes, when you were humble, were you not the head of the tribes? Did God not anoint you to be king, to be the leader of Israel? Right? Samuel calls him right out. Calls him right out. Let's continue. We'll pick up in verse 20. It says, and Saul said to Samuel, but I have obeyed the voice of the Lord and gone on a mission on which the Lord sent me and brought back Agag, king of Amalek. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites, but the people, still deflecting the blame, took the plunder, the sheep, the oxen, the best of everything, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. And here is the key verse of this chapter right here, verse 22. Look at this. This is a key verse right here. Verse 22. Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Right here. Look at this. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. Stop right here for a minute. Highlight that in your Bible. To obey is better than sacrifice with the Lord. That's how everything is obedience. with the Lord. Okay? During this time, sacrificing animals became a quick answer for sin. Okay? Oh, I messed up? Sacrifice. Oh, I did something I shouldn't have done? Sacrifice. Another animal. They got so used to doing that. Well, we sinned. Okay, yeah, just go get one of those animals. We'll just sacrifice. Fine. It's good. They got such in a routine of sinning and doing things against God, and they just got on these things. We'll just sacrifice an animal. Yeah, let's go out and sin today. We'll just sacrifice later to the Lord. We'll be all set, right? This was their way of thinking. God says, no, it's better to obey me than sacrifice. I'd rather you obey me than sacrifice it. It's almost like, what comes to my mind, it's almost like people say, well, hey, these days, not back then, these days, people are like, well, God's in the forgiving business. So if I sin, I'll just have to forgive, ask for forgiveness. Oh, I've heard that before. God's in the forgiveness business. I sinned, I screwed up, I just got to ask for forgiveness. They do it over and over and over and over and keep asking for forgiveness. I'll just go to church on Sunday. Yeah, confess my sins before the Lord. Go back out and do them Monday. Hypocrites. God says, I'd rather you just obey me and stop sinning against me. Right here. And you know, we can do the same thing as Christians. Yeah, I messed up. Yeah, I'll just ask God for forgiveness. But God says, how about you just obey me? I saved your life. Can you at least obey me? Saul was very disobedient, and that's what lost him his kingship. God gave it to him. Here you go. Sink or swim. Just like me being a pastor. Here you go, Sean. Sink or swim. Don't mess up. You're gonna stay with me or no? We're gonna be full of pride and do you on your own. It happens to a lot of them. A lot of leaders start getting full of themselves. They start relying on their own self-righteousness, not the Lord. When Saul sinned, right, he made excuses. He never truly repented of the things he did, and he never did. He never stopped being disobedient. Never repented. Didn't bother him. And it cost him the kingdom of Israel. He was actually a king of Israel. It cost him being a king. All right, let's pick up in verse 23. Verse 23, Samuel said, this is really interesting. I don't know if you guys read this passage already, but this is very interesting right here. These few verses, if you know the meaning behind it, it's pretty interesting. Verse 23, Samuel says to Saul, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He has rejected you from being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in your words. Here comes more excuses right here. Because I feared the people. You're king. Why would you fear the people? And I obeyed their voice. That's like me obeying you guys instead of God. Good luck. Just throwing that out there. Look at verse 25. Now therefore, he's talking to Samuel, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. Let's stop here. When Samuel told Saul, for rebellion is as sin of witchcraft, Samuel said this because Saul viewed witchcraft as a major sin, okay? Which it is, which it absolutely is, right? So again, I want you to really understand why he said this. This is crucial. It'll make more sense to you when you're reading down the road. We'll eventually get there. He says, for rebellion is as sin as witchcraft. Samuel said this because Saul viewed witchcraft as a major sin, which it is, witchcraft. Okay? And Saul was very hard on the witches in the land, the mediums, the spiritists. Saul was actually very, very hard on them. He cast them all out of the land. Okay? He was very, very hard on them because he looked at them as wicked of all wicked. So Samuel says to Saul, your rebellion is just like witchery, witchcraft. That's why he brings this up, because he knows Saul, what he thinks of witchcraft. So he calls him out and says, hey, you're no better than the witchcraft people sinning before the Lord. Your rebellion is just as bad as them. Which probably took a dagger right in his heart, because he rooted out all the witches. He cast them out of the land. Right? And by the way, iniquity up here in verse 23, I mean, you probably already know this, but if you don't, iniquity is when you do something, when you sin and you know it's wrong. That's when iniquity is, okay? So there's sinning, right? You sin, you did something you weren't supposed to do, you repented, oh, sorry, Lord. Iniquity is you know it's a sin and you still do it before the Lord. That's iniquity, okay? Because you see that over in the scripture, right? Iniquity, his iniquity. He got iniquity in his heart, right? That's what that is. In other words, God said that is a sin. Don't do it. And you know it. You still do it, right? That's what iniquity is. So Samuel really gave it to him, right? It's just like idolatry, he says, right? Severe stuff. Knowing it's wrong, but you do it anyway. You know what's ironically in chapter 28 of this book, after Samuel died and God stopped answering his prayers, which he did for a while, Saul went looking for a medium for himself. Do you guys read that? Right? In chapter 28, Saul got rid of all the witches, or tried to, all the mediums, the spiritists, all those wicked things that is of the devil. He rid them all out. And after Samuel dies and God is not, he's not hearing from God, he goes out and starts seeking one out. I'm going to just read it to you. You don't have to go, you can if you want later. Samuel 28, verse 7 and 11, verse 7 through 11. Listen to this. We'll get there eventually, but chapter 20, it says, then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium. Samuel's dead. God's not talking to me. We got to go get a medium. Now, that sounds like a bright idea, huh? That I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium in Endor. So Saul disguised himself. He disguised himself because he knows, right, that all the witches, he threw them out. He says, so Saul disguised himself, put on other clothes, and he went, and two men were with him, and they came to the woman by night, and he said, please conduct a seance for me, and bring up for me one I shall name to you. And the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done to us, witches, right? He's cast us out. That's why he's disguised himself. She doesn't know it's Saul. How he has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. Why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? And Saul said to her, the medium, the spiritist, saying, as the Lord lives. That's like I'm taking an oath to the Lord. When I say, as the Lord lives, that means an oath to the Lord. No punishment shall come upon you for this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you from the dead? And Saul said, bring Samuel up for me. Right? It's this man. I mean, can you see that? How bad it's gotten for him? He came to Christ humble and got worse as he went. And became, he became part of the devil. And now he's chasing these witchcraft stuff that he threw out of the land. He's lost his mind. He's lost his mind. You know what God gave him? God gave him exactly what he wanted. Read Romans 1:8. Romans 1, verse 18 through 32. God giving you over your debased mind. If that's what you want, God gives it to you. Right? You guys read that, Tony. I know you read it. Read that. Romans 1, verse 18 through 32. God says, you know what? If you want nothing to do with me, and this is how you want to live, and you want to live in sin, I'm going to just give you up to the devil and let you do the things that you want to do. This is the only heaven you're ever going to know. That's it. It's powerful. It's deep. Yeah. Verse 24, Saul feared the people and obeyed their voice. Just another excuse. They knew, hey, listen, these people knew he was king. And what the king said, you did back then, right? He just simply rebelled. Verse 25, right? Saul asked Samuel to pardon his sin and return with him to worship. You know why he did this? You know why Saul said, hey, Samuel, it's all good. Why don't you just come and worship with us? We'll sacrifice a few of these perfect sheep. You know why he did that? Because he didn't want to look bad in front of the people. He wanted Samuel to give him a stamp of approval. Hey, Sammy, you come with me and say, this is all good. We took this sheep. We sacrificed the Lord. This looks good. Come on, Samuel. Come to the barbecue. Right? Samuel's like, I don't think so. I ain't sharing in that with you. Yeah, come on, it's all good, Samuel. So let's see what Samuel tells him in verse 26. Let's take a look. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. Saul was like, hey, I'm not putting... Samuel was like, hey, Saul, I'm not putting my stamp of approval on these things that you're doing, okay? You're on your own, and God's rejected you. It says, and Samuel turned around to go, and Saul seized the edge of his robe, and he tore Samuel's robe. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today, and he has given it to a neighbor of yours, King David, who is better than you, and also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man. So he's talking about God. When you see strength, he's talking about God. For he is not man, that he, God, should relent. Stop here for 1 minute. See where it says that? Let's just stop. See where it says strength in your Bible? That's capitalized, right? If you have a New King James of Israel. That's referring to the glory of God. Okay? He's referring to the glory of God of Israel. Also, where it says the Lord will not lie nor relent, that means God will not change his mind. Okay? So he's telling, listen, Samuel, it's over with you. And God will not change his mind. That's what that means. So when you see when it says the Lord will not lie nor relent, it means he will not change his mind. It's done. He's giving you up, right? So let's see here, verse 30. Let's continue here, and then we'll read to the end. We're just about the end of our chapter here. This is why we did one chapter today. Verse 30 says, then he, Saul, said, I have sinned, yet honor me now. That's not how it works. I've sinned, give me honor. Please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me, that I may worship the Lord, your God. Keep saying your God. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Right? Saul was more worried about his reputation. Right? We see this, right? Than repenting and obeying the Lord. Verse 32. Then Samuel said, bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me. So Agag came to him cautiously, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death has passed. He knows he's done. He knows Samuel's going to take care of business. Verse 33, but Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag into pieces before the Lord. I don't think you would want to see this movie. Right? He hacked him into pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. So Samuel did what God commanded Saul to do, what he failed to do. Verse 34, then Samuel went to Ramah, that's his hometown, that's Samuel's hometown, Ramah. And Saul went to his house in Gibeah of Saul, that was his hometown. Last verse, verse 35, and Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, look at this, look at how much of a man of God Samuel is. Look at this. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, right? And the Lord regretted that he made Saul over king. So it ended right there. But so Samuel, he's still broken over what Saul did. No doubt he was still praying for the man. Amazing. But I just a takeaway from this real quick is I think the key verse in this chapter, honestly, is verse 22. God said, it is better to obey than sacrifice. It is better to obey, right? To obey is better than sacrifice. Remember that, right? Meaning God values faithful obedience more than outward religious acts. Okay? Partial obedience is still rebellion against God, right? God desires wholehearted obedience flowing from a faithful heart, not selective obedience, right? Well, I don't think this is too bad. I think I can get away with this, right? I'm going to do this a little bit. I just ask God for, you know, he's saying, no, full obedience. All right, that ends chapter 15. We'll close in prayer. Let's go ahead and let's close in prayer. Dear Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for speaking to us this afternoon, the importance of being obedient to you, Lord, being faithful to you. And when we screw up, we truly repent and mean it. So, Lord, we thank you for speaking to us in this chapter. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.